Father, we do want to praise you. We're so grateful that your hand is on us every day, so many ways that we don't even consider or think about. And we are so grateful in just how you watch over us and care for us. We do have several things here that are important, people's lives, medical and so forth, that are so very, very important. And that, God, we just ask that you might comfort, give strength, give an encouragement. We do ask that you might give the safety to the teen leaders and the teens as they come back and as they will begin to reflect upon all that you have done and accomplished in their lives and how you have spoken. God, we pray that the water that was given, the opportunity of growth that was provided, that you would be glorified in a great way in all of these things. We ask now that you would be with us as we continue on our study, that God, that you and everything that we do would be glorified. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, amen. There are last week's notes. I've got them all on one, so if you don't have the notes, they are back there. Feel free to go pick them up. But as we start, one thing has come to the attention of the leadership is that there are some who are somewhat confused or concerned in why are we participating in this study that we've been doing in our ABF. Well, the leadership of this church has a deep conviction and a wholehearted belief and desires that JIBC be biblical in every way and in everything that we do. It is our conviction that we study this together, this biblical doctrine, on how God has ordained the church to be led or for the church to be governed. If I can kind of just put it into a nutshell, the local church is to be governed or led by men who God has chosen, who possess the qualifications as is detailed in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. These men are called elders. They are also called pastors, bishops, and shepherds. Thus, our study that we're involved in right now, our current topic. Next week, Pastor Dan will take it into much greater detail, dealing with the roles and responsibilities of the elders. So it's going to take it from, you know, we're learning about how God shepherds his church to now seeing it a little bit further and a little bit better. But I want you to know that the church leadership has spent hours praying and discussing this. We have discussed this quite thoroughly. It is our desire to do the same, to teach it thoroughly. Some hear something new and they or hear something and they go, it's in Scripture, I see it, it's all good. Some have to work through it. Some are just, it's a little bit more for them. And so in order to minister to the entire body, we're taking the time so that we can, in fact, be very thorough in this teaching. That's why we believe that in teaching it and learning and studying it together, as I mentioned last week, this is a Bible study. It's a class, and I know we're in the main auditorium, but if you have a question, please feel free to raise your hand and ask a question. If it's one that we need to, you know, defer to a later week on because we're going to cover it in a lot more detail, I may do that, or whoever's teaching may do that. But again, because we want to make sure that everybody is crystal clear of what's going on, what we're talking about, and a full understanding. You know, what we're trying to do is present the logic and the structure as God has ordained in the Scriptures. And we have encouraged, if anyone, I'm being slightly redundant, forgive me, that if you don't understand, if you're confused, if there's a, you know, anything that you would like to have deeper explanation of, ask it here. Take one of us aside. I know myself, Pastor Dan, and other leaders would be more than happy to make sure that your questions are answered and that you have an understanding. And if we have to sit down and go even a little bit further in studying something individually, we want to do whatever that it takes. We do wish to encourage all of us to make sure that our discussions, the things that we talk about, are always honoring to the Lord. If I can refer to Ephesians 4, where Paul was speaking to the Ephesian church, what he said this, he said, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear." The whole point is may all of our discussions, this discussion, discussions beyond, may they always be edifying to the church and to the individuals that we're speaking to, because that is what God has called us to do, to encourage one another. I've read through the Scriptures many times, and I have not seen where the gift of discouragement exists, only the ability and the gift of encouraging one another. And it's important that you understand that we, as the shepherds of this church, have a great responsibility to you, and we also have a great accountability to God and to the Lord, and that's why we take this responsibility very, very seriously, and that's why we feel wholeheartedly that taking the time to study this together is of paramount issue. Now, again, why is all this important anyway? You know, God has established many things in Scripture, and when we follow God's plan, I'm going to take 30 seconds and just, it's kind of a, you know, it's a praise, but on Friday, my wife and I celebrated our 39th anniversary. I also want to tell you that the first few years were not as good as these years. And people have asked us in the past, what is it that has helped you get through and be at 39 years or 38, whatever time we were talking with them? And without hesitation, the thing that I always say is we have continually applied biblical principles to our marriage. God has provided principles and structure for marriage and for many other things. And when we follow them and when we adhere to them, we end up having the best results because it takes man out of the equation and takes an infinite God and puts him into the equation because he has the answers to all things. So why are we doing this? For that very reason. We want to, as a church, see what God's direction and what God teaches. You don't need to turn there, but in Titus, Paul had left Titus, and he was telling Titus the things that he wanted him to do. And I'm just going to read the fifth verse of Titus chapter 1. It says, again, he's writing to Titus, and he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Now, thou shouldest set in order. That is a Greek word. We're not going to get into it, but it's where we get our word orthodontist, to set things straight. Again, the whole point is that God has a structure, a way, and many things in our lives and in many things in the church. And when we see them and when we recognize them and follow them, that's when the best results take place because you're following as he has directed. Any questions? All right, we started off by just looking at biblical authority, and Pastor Dan did a wonderful job in discussing the whole fact of what it means to function as a church biblically. You know, as I mentioned last week, one of the rules of Bible study is Scripture with Scripture, and that's what we're doing within this study. We are taking the whole counsel of God, the entire Scriptures. We're not taking and isolating something and trying to force something that is in there. And it's important that as we study it, as that we all see these things, that's why we're looking at different topics. And as we look at the topics, there are going to be verses that we're going to use again, but we're using them as within the very structure of the topic that we're covering. When we're talking about this week in regards to shepherding, we're going to look at several verses, or where we'll refer to them, because some of them we've looked at last week. Pastor Dan is going to look at many of the very same scriptures, but then adding to that, but always using Scripture with Scripture. A healthy church must have a high regard for the Word of God, which results in a church being ruled by the Word of God. That's important that all of us soak that in for just a moment. A healthy church, Pastor Dan shared this, and I believe it was in the first week. A healthy church must have a high regard for the Word of God, which results in a church being ruled by the Word of God. And then we have now begun looking at the church within this structure. Last week, we began with how does God shepherd the church? It's important that we learn this and understand this because it teaches us how God wants his sheep to be shepherded. And it teaches how he wants us as individuals. Teaches us all about what this shepherding thing is all about. We discussed how Jesus in his teaching particularly used so many different forms. He used illustrations and comparisons and so forth in trying to help us gain a deeper understanding. And one of the things that Jesus used was metaphors. And we see metaphors throughout all of Scripture. Probably one of the most common metaphors, you know, I've said on more than one occasion, I kind of believe maybe it's God's favorite, is that of a shepherd. Jesus references shepherding as what he does for us and how he himself treats us. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. I'm going to just read from John chapter 10 for time's sake. I'll read some and then some of them we will refer to, but we've read this one last week as well. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus in the middle of this, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." A couple of verses down, verse 14, he again says, "I am the good shepherd." There's no doubt. Jesus made sure there was total clarity that he, in fact, was the good shepherd. He calls himself that good shepherd. We began then looking at the reality of the shepherd. In other words, what is true about the shepherd? I am going to ask you to turn to Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. We didn't read this last week. And I am going to read it in its entirety. It's obviously a short psalm, just to kind of get the flow of what is being said here. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We will not discuss every single verse in there, but I want to encourage you individually on your own. Take a look at these verses and some of the things that you are able to pull out under the direction of the Holy Spirit to see how God wants to shepherd us. There are so many words, so many phrases of encouragement and security in them that it's to know this, you know, many of us can quote it, but instead of being able to quote it word perfect, allow what is in that psalm to be such a part of our lives that we walk with a greater security and a greater strength. We noted last week that there are over 20 names of God in Scripture, and one of them is the name Jehovah Raha, which simply means Lord Jehovah Shepherd, Raha, that God is the good shepherd, that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. We spent a little bit of time trying to consider why it was important to know these things heart deep. One of the things about doctrine is not meant to just be about facts, but is about to learn what the doctrine teaches, being able to apply it to our lives and be a part of our lives so that, again, we can walk in security. We can walk in trusting the Lord because of he has shown himself over and over and over that he is a God that is a good shepherd. These are, as I've already mentioned, great words of security. When we don't understand what's going on in life, we can still trust him. When we don't feel like things are going good, we trust that everything that he is allowing in our lives is because he loves us. We can live with and in the security that, as we just read, that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. We also noted that knowing that God is our shepherd will resolve a lot of what-ifs that come as a natural process of a study of seeing how God shepherds his church and the individuals that he uses. So as we understand, again, him being a good shepherd, we briefly looked at John 10, verse 10 and 11. We're not going to look at that again, where Jesus taught us about the good shepherd, and he also contrasts there then the hireling or a hired hand that is not a shepherd. These hirelings that Jesus was referencing were simply hired hands. They really didn't care for the sheep. What they were doing was they were fulfilling a job, an occupation. We spent some time looking at Ezekiel chapter 34, seeing how God takes care of and responds to unfaithful shepherds or hirelings. We're not going to go back through that unless someone would like to spend some time looking at that. But all shepherds are under the direct responsibility, accountability, and yes, if needs be, discipline and judgment of God. So that gives all of the sheep great security because we know that God has our back. God is over every shepherd. Every shepherd is to know this, and every shepherd is also to know that anything they do, what they say, how they lead, and if they are leading in an incorrect way, that God will take care of the deal. That's important. That's huge. Do we see it in the Old Testament? Absolutely. But this is not just an Old Testament principle. That's why we have looked at so many New Testament verses and will continue to do just that. We talked about just the facts. Facts. God uses people that he calls, people of his choosing, as his under-shepherds. We looked at several verses. We read them all. Hopefully you have them down in your notes. I wasn't going to go over them again. I did want to spend a little more time in our review this morning just to kind of keep the flow of everything and make sure that anything we discussed last week, if there are questions, we'll stop and camp here. If this teaching goes into next week because we have questions that we're trying to address, that's a good thing. It's an important thing. The facts. God uses people he calls of his choosing as his under-shepherds. Fact. God has always used and called people, people of his choosing. Scripture is full of examples. One of them I mentioned last week was Moses. Now, Moses is a great example because there was a time in Moses' life that he was self-called. And when he called himself and he thought it was his thing, God hadn't called him yet. He thought it was his thing. And what happened? He spent 40 years in additional training. God takes care of his sheep, and the shepherds are always responsible to the chief shepherd. We think of David. We think of Paul. There are so many examples in Scripture. The disciples themselves, again, over and over and over, for time's sake, we're not going to look at them, but we can refer to them, which will enhance our own personal study and understanding. This morning I want to kind of start hit back on now the reality of the New Testament shepherds. Ultimately, there's a lot of redundancy there, but the chief shepherd always uses under-shepherds. We see that is the plan, that is the structure that God has placed in the New Testament church. This is his structure. God is quite clear of his expectations and his qualifications, or if you will, requirements of the under-shepherds. God doesn't leave it for chance, or doesn't leave it to opinion. He is very clear on what those qualifications and requirements are. And again, those will be addressed specifically more so next week in Pastor Dan's teaching. I'd like to use the illustration, though, of the Navy SEAL program. There are many that want to be a Navy SEAL, and so they enter the Navy SEAL program. Often there are a couple of hundred that will begin this training. And then as time goes on, those who are ultimately SEALs stay. They go through. They learn the qualifications. They become qualified. So in the end, do you know who chooses who the SEALs really are? They themselves in their qualifications. And those qualifications are simply acknowledged because they've gone all of the way through that training. God does the same thing. He sets forth the requirements. He sets forth the qualifications. He sets forth all of these things, and it makes it of his choosing, not of our choosing. God's pretty smart, and he takes care of it really well. And going back to the what-ifs are taken very well care of, because the qualifications and the requirements and the teaching we have throughout the whole counsel of God takes care of the whole thing. Next, we want to take a look at the role of the shepherd. The role of the shepherd. And again, if I say anything that you got questions, you need clarifications, sometimes I can get talking away and miss a piece of information. All right. The role of the shepherd. Again, we'll look at Psalm 23. I'd like to look at verse 2 and 3. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. One of the things that we know about sheep is sheep are pretty dumb. And sheep are kind of, if you will, move kind of willy-nilly, as you might say. They do their own thing. They don't think. They don't look up. Next thing you know, when they do look up, they look and they go, oh my goodness, how did I get here? Because that's who they are. They're not the smartest creature in the world. They are prone to get lost. They are prone to being injured. And they are prone to be vulnerable. What's the song? Anybody think that it come to mind? Prone to wonder, Lord? We also acknowledge we are sheep. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were bewildered. They were hopeless. And he commented about that they were like sheep having no shepherd. Scripture reiterates the principles of leadership over and over and over because we as people, all of us, are just like sheep. We read here in the 23rd Psalm that he leads us where we need to go, and he leads us there for our best interest. Think about the places that you've been in your lives that you wonder sometimes, how did I get here? Now, sometimes it's just our own foolishness. But then he says, all right, now you've recognized your foolishness. Now let me lead you to the right place. See, the cool thing about this teaching is it's not just about one thing, but in learning how he shepherds us as individuals, we have great security, as I've already stated before. It says here that he makes me to lie down in green pastures. What in the world could that mean? That means we all get to lay out in the fields and just enjoy the sun in our face, which some might enjoy more than others. What might that mean? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Well, one thing I know that it means he causes us to lie down. He brings us to a place of rest. I think of times in my own life, i.e. torn pec, i.e. reconstructive ankle surgery that I couldn't do a whole lot. I had to count on my wife. Oh my goodness. I mean, I couldn't put a shirt on. I couldn't take a shirt off. I couldn't do all these things. But I'm not saying that God necessarily did that directly, but I think indirectly he was bringing me to a place that I could do nothing more than rest. That these aren't always the ways that God does it, but what he does is he causes it to be so. So there are times in the life of a church that God has to cause us to be at specific places so that we, in fact, can allow him to feed us. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to turn there if you'd like to turn there. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Again, in reference to the shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. One of the things that comes out from this is that the shepherd intimately cares for the sheep. The shepherd intimately cares, not just for the flock as a whole, but the individuals of the flock. And this also teaches us how does God want his church to be shepherded? Where the shepherds, the under-shepherds, if you will, care for the overall flock? Absolutely. But care for the individuals of the flock. And we'll look more at that even later next week. We also see that the shepherd feeds the flock. God provides what the flock needs. Verse 2. Interesting. God doesn't say that he puts it in their mouths like mother birds and baby birds. What he says is he leads them to the pasture. But there is responsibility then here for the sheep. The sheep have to, once they've been led there, they need to allow themselves to be fed by what God is saying and what God is wanting to do in their lives. David acknowledged completely how reliant he was upon God. David was one of the best kings, if not the best king that Israel ever had. And yet he acknowledged over and over and over that he was completely and fully reliant upon God as the chief shepherd. Again, no different with the New Testament shepherds. Sometimes we, as sheep, want something that is not in our best interest. I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but in James chapter 1, it talks about, you know, we lust and we desire, we want all these things, and reality, they are not what's best for us. But the chief shepherd, how does he want to have us to be shepherded? Always in our best interest, always in love, always directing us to what in fact is best. Because of that, God provided for us a book that will feed us, and in that has provided everything that we need. When we were raising our children, my son was the most finicky of all of our children when it came to eating. And my wife has always made good meals, very good meals. I love your meals. You've actually gotten better through the years even. But would be a wonderful meal setting before us, and Jared particularly would refuse to eat this wonderful meal. Now, what did he do? He went away hungry. Was the provision there? Yes. But he made a volitional choice not to partake of the food that was presented to him. God has given to us a book. And in this book gives us everything that we need. But we make a choice. Are we going to read what the Word says? Are we going to follow what the Word says? Well, I don't like what it says. I can't stand here and tell you as a human being that I like every single thing that's in Scripture. Do you know what? One of the things that Scripture talks about, that if my wife and I have a disagreement, guess who's at fault? Guess whose responsibility it is to make it better? She can be 99.9% wrong. Not that that's ever happened, of course, in our family. But I am still responsible. I don't like that, because if she's at fault, I want her to be responsible. You see, there are things in Scripture that we may not necessarily in our humanness like or want to follow, but it doesn't change the fact that it's absolute truth and it is how God has designed it. You know, we use a lot of excuses in life. I just don't have time. Really? Okay. We pray, oh Lord, I need an answer. Oh Lord, I need this, what have you. And then we don't give him 5 seconds to tell us what we need to hear. So he has given us this book. He has given us this book to teach us, to show us all of these things. Again, he feeds us. In John chapter 21, for time's sake, we're not going to read it. Most of us are familiar with it. 3 times, Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my sheep." In reality, it's the exact same thing that Peter in 1 Peter says to the elders, that the elders are to feed the sheep. Now, there in 1 Peter, it says, feed the flock of God. The ESV says, shepherd the flock of God. The point is that word that is used there is the word for shepherd, which means they, as shepherds, are required of God to fulfill each one of these responsibilities, because this is how God has ordained his church to be led. The shepherds are to provide spiritual food. The shepherds are to make truth plain. The shepherds are to rule, to govern, to nourish, to cherish, just like God does with us. He also protects. The good shepherd protects his flock. A shepherd out in the fields protected the flocks from all different types of foes. Obviously, it would be from animals that wanted to eat them, from insects that carry disease. We're really learning about, you know, even right now, how some type of bacteria or whatever can get into, how it can destroy, how it can kill, how widespread it can be. This is one of the things that the shepherd had to do, make sure that there were not insects that would, in fact, carry disease and kill them. Sheep are dumb, and they'll eat poisonous plants. Sometimes we as sheep can be following something that ultimately is poisonous to us spiritually speaking. You know what? There's a great deal of false doctrine out there a phenomenal amount. And much of this false doctrine actually sounds really good. It can be very palatable, if you will, to our human nature. I love what Jude said when he was writing his very short letter. I'm just going to read what he wrote, just a couple verses. Jude says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." What is he saying? Is, you know, I wanted to talk to you about our salvation. I wanted to share more what the gospel really is. But there was a more pressing need right now because there was a horrible false doctrine that was coming in and it was permeating things that were going on. And he had to stop and warn the church. He had to make the church aware. Who were these people? What did they look like? How were they doing things? This is one of the responsibilities of the shepherd, to protect, to make sure that we are aware of false doctrine, things out there that could be extremely harmful to our spiritual lives, to our families, to all of us. Interesting that back in Psalm 23, we have a reference to the rod and the staff. As sheep, sometimes, as we've already commented on, sheep will wander away from the safety and the security of the flock and the shepherd. I figure most of us are aware. And sometimes when you had a sheep that just was doing this all the time, wandering away. Because remember, when one of them would do this, that caused the shepherd to move away from the flock for a short period of time to go after this wandering one. And so the wandering one obviously had a detrimental effect on the entire flock. So sometimes the shepherd would actually have to break a leg of the sheep. Why? Because now the sheep could not go wander off anymore and cause harm to the rest of the body. When we read there in Isaiah chapter 40, sometimes the shepherd has to carry the sheep for their protection and for the protection of the body. This then reminds us of how, again, how dependent we are on the shepherd. The shepherds. And yes, the shepherds are also sheep. I want that to soak in for just a moment. The shepherds are also dumb sheep. And as sheep, we need the very same things that everyone else does. Now, obviously, there are qualifications, and again, we'll look at those later. There are imperatives. But the shepherds understand that they're no smarter than anybody else. And so they, as the shepherds, must adhere to the very same book, the very same principles, the very same structure that God has given. God has made it crystal clear. 1 Peter chapter 5. Aaron, would you turn there real quick and read the first four verses for us, please? It's in the New Testament, Aaron.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. chapter 5, the first four verses.
So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not for compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
It's important for us to understand that the role of the New Testament shepherd is no different than the role of the Old Testament shepherd. You know, when Paul wrote Titus, again, we've referred to that, one of the things he said was he was showing Titus how to establish the leadership that needed to be in the church. Paul made it very clear, giving the formal credentials, if you will, of leadership, those qualifications. Peter reemphasizes those very same things. So when we follow the structure of Scripture, we see laid out that perfect plan, that perfect structure on how God wants His church to be shepherded. It leaves nothing up to imagination. It leaves nothing up to our own thoughts because He is crystal clear. Here in 1 Peter, when he uses that word leading, it means to take oversight, to superintend. Now, the one that wrote this in 1 Peter, when you read his second epistle, it starts off, he calls himself a doulos, a servant, a doulos. A doulos was actually a Greek word of a bond slave, someone who willingly was a slave, put themselves in a position, it was a choice that they made to do so. Peter understood that he was nothing more than a servant, and that as a servant, he was in fact to adhere to what the chief shepherd shared and told. And part of that was to teach the others. Sometimes there are topics that our Pastor Dan, you know, they're hard. They're hard to talk about. Okay, you know, I'll just make one for sure. Get talking about money. All he wants is this more money. No, that's not the case. But the case is if the whole counsel of God is not taught, if we don't understand that, there's a lot of misconceptions. And so that's why all of these things have to be taught, not just the ones that are easy, because all of these things are for our own good. Moving along, the responsibility of the shepherds, the responsibility. I wish we had more time to look at Ezekiel 34. I find Ezekiel 34 quite profound. Anyone who desires, you know, scriptures talk about, Paul says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, an overseer, he desires a good thing. But before any man would ever consider that, I would encourage them to be very aware of what God says in Ezekiel 34. We've already addressed that, to understand what that means. Because being a leader in God's church isn't this thing to puff our chest up about and say, well, I'm a leader. No, it's an understanding that we are servants. We are bond slaves. We are, in fact, doulos over His church. One of the things that we learn in Ezekiel 34 is about being a watchman. Now, a watchman, again, this is under the heading of the responsibility of the shepherds. A watchman was one that was positioned on a hill or on a watchtower that was constantly looking out. That was their job. They were there to protect, and they needed to know and see all that was going on around them to make sure that nothing harmful would in fact come to the body, to the people, or to whomever it might be. This was an incredibly important position to understand as watchmen. Those who are shepherding must be aware of all things that are going on, both in the church and outside the church, because as I've already stated, there's a lot of false doctrine out there, and it sounds good, and people can be led astray. I've known people through my life, people who seemingly were sound doctrinally, but somehow got caught up into some things, and before I know it, they were forsaking true doctrine for a false doctrine that had led them astray and, in fact, was leading others astray. But as shepherds, they are to be watchmen. This is important for us to, I've already shared part of it, but why do you think, additionally, why is it important that a shepherd understands that they are a watchman? I'm going to make you think this morning. It's early.
Because they're accountable for the people they're supposed to be keeping safe.
Say that real loud, something near. Okay, because they're accountable for those people they are trying to keep safe. What else? Denny.
In anything church is doing what I'll be doing, you'll have a lot of young believers who are not doctrinally sound, who be led astray by every wind of doctrine. They need to have someone who's watching out for what winds are blowing at the time and warn them yet.
Okay, very important. When those of you that have gone through the membership interview, if you will, we ask you, Have you read our doctrinal statement? Do you understand everything that's in there? Do you have questions about that? Because it is important that the individual or the individuals have an understanding of where our doctrine is, that we're walking together. But in the same token, maybe there are doctrines that they have always adhered to that in a time of study of Scripture, they'll find out we're not so biblical after all. See, this is important, the responsibility of the shepherds. I love Scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This is one of the huge responsibilities of the shepherds, that we are making you aware. And sometimes, in your sharing with us what's going on in your lives, God may show us, God may reveal something that may be a little out of kilter in your lives, that Satan is trying to get a foothold on. This morning as I was putting the final touches and getting ready, it was amazing. I really sensed how Satan was trying to frustrate me about anything he possibly could. Now, often it happens before you get the privilege of speaking. He'll try to do something. But being aware of those things, I was able to continue to go back to the Lord. The Lord, you're my strength. This is your word. These frustrations mean nothing and are nothing. We are, the shepherd is both to care for the individual and for the entire flock. As stated before, when one jeopardizes the safety of the flock, then chastisement does need to take place, the breaking of the leg of the sheep. When sheep within the body get out of line, there are sometimes, Scripture is very clear, that discipline must take place. I don't know a parent that, man, I can't wait to spank my kid. Oh, it's so much fun. No, I used to think my dad did. You know, as I say that, I think my dad got a kick at it. No, just kidding. But we have to. Why? Why did we discipline our children? Did anybody here discipline kids? Maybe we're it, honey. I don't know. We were kind of famous in the high school. I know that. Why did we discipline our children? I'm sorry? Because we love them. Done? Okay. We would not be fulfilling the responsibility as God has given to us as parents to instruct and to teach. And sometimes the way of teaching had to go as far as discipline or chastisement. I'm sorry? To correct them. You know, and I've got a grandson that if you spank him, ain't no big deal to him. So there's other forms of discipline that he has to experience because that is the structure that works best for him. But again, it's giving the chastisement and the discipline. That's the whole point. The shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the under shepherds do the very same thing. The shepherds are, again, I know this is redundant, but it's so important for us to understand that every individual is equally cared for. Now, personality-wise, Pastor Dan may get along better with one person than he does other, personality-wise. But I can guarantee you that he or any of the other leaders, we don't like people better, and therefore we give them a little extra. The sheep are equally cared for, loved, fed, protected, and again, the things that we've already talked about. The requirements of the shepherd and the sheep. The requirements of the shepherd and the sheep. We are to be obedient to the title holder. We're to be obedient to the chief shepherd. Scripture calls us stewards. As stewards, we are to do what we are told. We are also to do it when we are told. And we are also to do it with a cheerful heart, with a heart of love, because we want to glorify God. We are stewards. So the leadership, they are stewards of the church, but that doesn't mean that the individuals of the church are not stewards. And that's part of the teaching, that's part of the feeding, to help all of us understand what this stewardship is all about. Stewardship's not all about just money. It is about our time. Time is one of the precious things that we, most precious things that we have. It is about our talents and our abilities, our spiritual giftedness. You know, how many of us in here have any idea of what the spiritual giftedness we may possess that the Holy Spirit has given to us is? If we're not sure what that is, it's going to be very difficult for us to be faithful stewards because we are not tapping in to what God has given to us, what God has provided to us. Paul, in speaking to the Corinthians, simply said, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And yes, the context there is dealing with the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, but the principle isn't different. The principle is still there that we as stewards are to be faithful in what we do. The requirements of the New Testament shepherds in the flock. Again, we're talking about being a stewards. One big one, that we are always, always, can I repeat the word always? That we are always under the authority of the chief shepherd. That is the one. As stewards, the requirements of the New Testament shepherd and the flock is faithfulness to one another and faithfulness to the Lord. I'm going to close up here. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 10. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Yes, I've isolated, pulled out a verse. But the principle there is so strong, so important, that we, in what is our requirements? To be faithful stewards to Him, faithful stewards to one another, faithful, looking at the shepherds, they are required to do this. And when they are unfaithful shepherds, we have learned that they now have put themselves under the direct accountability of God. Lastly, in Luke chapter 16, there are a few parables, but Luke chapter 16 starts off with what's often called the parable of the unjust steward. I want to encourage you to read that maybe when you get home, but I want to put a little bit different look at that, because we tend to look at the negative, the unfaithful or the unjust steward. But maybe what is being taught here is that God is telling us what a just steward really is. It's easy to look at a negative. It's a lot harder sometimes to extrapolate what is really being said there and what this just servant is. See, there is so much to be said, so much to learn about how God wants His church to be shepherded. There's so much to understand of how this is to take place. And though we've kind of rushed through it, we want to make sure that it's important to the entire body, that we have a better understanding so that now when we start looking at specifically the roles and responsibility of the elders, we see they're the same people, the shepherds. The principles are the same, but we can look at it in greater detail. I know it was fast. Any comments or questions that you may have? Yes, Paula.
I just kind of felt like I needed to add something to the analogy of the shepherd breaking the leg of the sheep.
Okay.
I totally get that. Sometimes, you know, God has to discipline us and bring pain into our lives in order to bring us closer to Him. And I've heard that analogy before. And I think it's important for us to remember that, God is just, but He is also loving and merciful.
Absolutely.
And that I'm sure that the shepherd hated to break that leg.
Oh, absolutely.
But it was out of compassion and out of love, and that He binded that leg, and He took the time to bind it and bring healing to that leg. And He also would carry that sheep. He would put it on His shoulders and carry that sheep until the leg was healed. And so I think it's important to remember that God, even when we have to experience pain as a discipline, that He is healing us and that He is carrying
Absolutely it is.
We can look at God not as a punisher or somebody that's out to break legs, but somebody that is out to love us and take us to a better place.
Absolutely. You know, when you were saying that, made me think of, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. It's full encompassing. All right. Thank you, Paula. Anyone else? All right, let's close in prayer. Father, I am so incredibly grateful that you have laid this out so clear within your word. It helps us so that we don't have to doubt. It helps us so that we don't have to come up with our own ideas or our own structure. You have laid it out. You have laid it out throughout the entire New Testament and Old Testament combined, that the whole counsel of God is teaching and showing us these principles. You have made it so clear to us. But then, God, you know, you also know our frame. And you know that there are things that often we can struggle with and are difficult to swallow, if you will, to absorb and to adhere to. So I ask that as we continue on within this study, that we would allow your word to do the very work that you have desired for it to do. That we would hear your word, that we would take your word, and that we would apply your word, that it would become such a part of us that it is in no way even any more separate from us, because it becomes who we are. God, we ask now that you be with the service to follow, our time of worship, our time of listening to your word as you speak to us. Thank you for that phenomenal love. In Jesus' name, amen.